in the various areas, and those treatments have been made after the period of intensive. We have, I think we have 214 partial holders, and mainly in the field of DFC, geomatics, town and regional planning, and land surveying. This is where we have got a certain impact of these tools. As such, at the moment, we are using more of the service providers from outside to fulfill this function, because we are not having much of the success in getting this capacity. The nation doesn't have enough of the service people. What is good about this is that most of the people that have qualified have been employed in the department of this national building. The department, in conjunction with the investor, for paying 203 beneficiaries in terms of project management and fund management in specific areas. The minister has launched a brain atlas for 7 atlases which were handed to the organization, which are working with blind persons, and they have really appreciated and they want more details, of brain. So the very happy about it. Graduate program, where we've got these graduates who are employed on four-year contract before they can be if you are an ordinary land owner and you are buying land from another land owner, you seem to be paying much lesser prices than the department is paying. What is your system? Can we use that system so that we can pay, because we would like to pay and stick to the constitution which says we must pay a reasonable tax and fair compensation when we buy your land and hand over to you. But the demand, the land that is the amount that the department has demanded, are much higher. So we are in discussion with the land owners to ask from them, how can we get these land prices as you among yourselves are paying? And then under the issue of personnel, we have reduced our vacancy rate from 42% the previous year to 15.7%. And this is on the third, coming from on the third year, coming from 27% in the previous 2 years. So we've worked on this, but it has become a challenge. So it's like a revolving door. You employ this side and you leave this side. So the gains that you have made are undermined by the resignation, the promotion that are happening. So, and you can't, so we strive to get a consistent strategy, but you don't seem to be successful. We should have been having at least they can collect 10%, that was our target, which is the norm amongst the departments that manage the applications for them. But it's still a system, we are working on it. And then the program too is Republic and Mapping. This is the national program which assists us to do the mapping of the land. We got the National Control Survey System, which has been working successfully, and we are happy with the level of success in terms of this. We are maintaining treatment stations all over the country, and this is helping in the service that assists us in maintaining our GPS. And the roads and the new roads and maintenance of all those networks. That was is basically an example in the model, and we are very happy with the progress that we are making in that area. We've got a contribution to making the method, particularly in the production of maps. We've got what we call the mapping of Africa for Africa. We are interacting with quite a number of countries, particularly the SADC, the Francophone 5 countries. And as such, this next month, we are having a meeting in Ethiopia where we are carrying this project, because South Africa is quite advanced compared to the other African countries. So we're adding value in the mapping of Africa for Africa so that our maps are updated, and the challenge of producing maps is to make sure that they are up to date. If you are signaling changes or new roads that are being constructed, they need to be on the map, and we are doing that. So we are working with the rest of Africa to update the map of Africa in this area. And then the other program is the cadastral coverage management program 3. And that program 3, we've got a program that helps with the survey of land so that all the land parcels are covered. We've got 6 offices across the country dealing with cadastral survey, and this year under review, we have done 328,000 properties that have been surveyed in this current year. We've got a centralized training unit of 4 lecturers where we are supporting the provision of We are working on a project where we would like to get the e-cadaster. In other words, this could be digitized system, which is used by Netherlands and other advanced countries. They have got our deep system to be paper-based at the moment, and the fabrics are paper-based. So we are working with other countries so that we can have an e-cadaster system, so that the registration of these can be done electronically. It will be faster if we are taking 7 days to register a title deed today. We think that we will have that by more than 50% to be quick in rendering that type of service. Program 4 is the restitution, where we are setting land claims. We have settled a total of 650 claims within this period under review. You will appreciate that this number of 650 is much less than what we have been settling before. And the reason for this is that we are setting individual claims which were evident in the past, so our statistics look much higher. But now we are setting rural claims, and the rural claims, they are profiled is that one rural claim is dealing with 1,000, 3,000, 6,000 households. So they define themselves depending on the size of the community that is claiming. But in our statistics, it counts as one claim. But with seven claims, because of their nature, it's just one claim for a property which may be 300 square meters, 1,000 square meters at most. So it is used with smaller units which are in other areas. So when we deal with one claim counts for many of those, while in the other claims, one claim counts for lots of those. So here, the numbers are getting smaller and smaller because of the complexity of the rural claims that we are delivering. We have delivered 394,000 hectares in the year under review, benefiting 30,000 households. And the cumulative hectares since the review started has been 2.4 million hectares that have been delivered to the benefit of people. At the time of March 2009, it was 4,296 contracts for a claim that were outstanding. But now we've got about 3,000 plus that are now outstanding. So this figure that you see there is at the end of March 2019. We've got agreements with other future to ensure that beneficiaries will receive the necessary payments to enable them to take optimal use of the land that is before. So we are working closer with other future. I'm not here to see the progress that we have made in terms of rolling out the agreements that we have with us after the future in terms of the number of people that we have raised the claim. But because they are in this sector, we have an agreement that they are going to take over training of these people on site on this farm. We have given them the list of the farms that we have handed over. And we are reviewing all the projects that we have that are struggling and we have reported under program 4 and under program 5. Most of the land that we have delivered, which is about 5.2 million hectares today, 49% of that land is not optimally used, and therefore we have an impact on agricultural production. Under program 5, we have delivered 443,600 hectares under this program. And this is far lower than what we had anticipated. We wanted to deliver 1.5 million hectares. and you are just at that time of 608, because the money that we had, the budget that we had at the time, would not have enabled us to buy one from about 1,000,000. So we reduced the target to 608,000. But even that target, we could not achieve, we could only deliver 443,000, because that's what the money could buy. We spent 99% of our budget to buy that 493,000 hectares. So in other words, even if we wanted to buy that 680, we could not do so because we ran out of the money. So the two things that we are saying is that under restitution and under redistribution, we have got the talent of all segment support that we need to provide to the members and the society. Under plus, we have had significant achievements under plus to achieve a number of the land transfers. But we still have the talent about the agreements that flow from plus. In fact, our qualification based on this plus program, precisely because of the challenges of managing this process of land transfer under plus. We do have 3,157 parcels of state land that were submitted for vesting. Under state land, we do have a challenge. State land is not only under the Department of Land Affairs. Land Affairs has done an audit, and it's contained in the report of how many land parcels we have under the Department of Land Affairs. We've done an audit, but in this audit, it has become clear that not all of the land has been surveyed, particularly in the affected area. The land is not surveyed, so it's very difficult to do the vesting of the land that is unsurveyed. So we have agreed on a process to survey that land we need to bear. We do have it, and we know where this land is. But the challenge is that we have not been surveyed to be able for us to do a proper analysis of what could be done with that land. So we have engaged in a task with public work. This is the Department of Land Affairs, Department of Public Works, as well as other departments who are user departments. The Department of Defense has got a lot of land that is needed for defense level, the structures for ATAC in the city, and a long list of others as well. Now, that land is used by defense, but it is under public works. So there are many user departments, the Department of Education, the Department of Health. So when you audit, the question is, the audit is in the hands of public works, the audit is in the hands of the user departments, and most of the departments responsible for this are Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, our department, as well as the Department of Public Works. But a number of the cities in the provinces, some of the provinces that were these schedules that they had of state land, it becomes clear when you look at the ex homeland area. When you go to Mabat, there's a lot of state land that is there in Mabat. Houses and farms and all of that, which were, in terms of the legislation, the city has become the authority that is responsible for such pieces of land. And the third category, fourth category, is the land that is under municipality. Municipalities have got this land. Some of it is under public works national, some of it is under public works in the provinces, and some of it is in the district municipalities themselves. So we have sent to the auditor general. National Treasury gave us an exemption last year, and it was a district general that was linked to public works. And we were still depending on it in terms of the economy. We are clear that we can only do, we do have the list, we have spoken to public works, they do have the list, of property. But the public and the investing are the outstanding issues which make other processes not possible. So we've got a task with the public works department and our department to actually work on this. And in fact, that report which will give us an indication of the size of the problem and the program of addressing it will come to us, the minister has said, before the end of November. And then we will discuss that with the National Treasury and with the Auditor General about how to implement that plan. So far, we are very clear that with this size of the problem of the asset management is so big that we need to spend quite a lot of time and resources to get on top of that asset management. And then the other program is the one that deals with the products of LRAS, treatment planning and land acquisition grant, where we are restructuring our products of land reform according to the categories that we give to the committee about. We are having the five categories that we have identified that these people must, the land reform beneficiaries must be assisted in terms of these five categories that we have in the department. And we're saying that those categories of the land reform beneficiaries can actually be able to assist us in terms of being effective in terms of the program that we are going to implement to be effective. The land rights management facility is helping us to deal with the eviction. The eviction has been common with our passport around the region, particularly in the case of some area, in the area of Mozambique and the Zaire, those areas are having a lot of eviction in that area. So what we've done is we have developed this land rights management facility, which seeks to provide two products. One is the mediation service, so that we can resolve these things by talking between the farm dwellers and the landowners. And we have made very good progress when that is done. This mediation service has actually worked. And then the second product relates to the issue of providing legal aid, taking these matters to court, on defending these farm workers and farm dwellers in court. That service is proving to be yielding good results to deal with this issue. And then the other under this program part is the communal land rights power. The matter is still in court and we are awaiting judgment and we hope that judgment will be here by now. All of the discussions were finalized, I think it was November, December last year. We hope that this will be finalized and not, but we still have judgment to set on that one. I have spoken to the hectares that deliver, so I will now go to program 6, the special plan. Program 6 deals with the special planning, land use management, the special information planner, to deal with national development plan and implementation of land reform. In terms of this, we have assisted a number of provinces to develop what we call the Special Development Framework, SDF. It also makes our contribution to the assistance of the rural small towns, how to assist them to develop their IDPs and Special Development Plans. So this component is assisting, and this report will outline which provinces we have assisted in terms of developing this FDF. Linked to this is the development of the land use management bill. That bill was debated and been supported by all the parties and the committee. And also, this is now before Parliament. It will be taken forward to the MCOP. So we would await the guidance from Parliament in this regard. And then the support to the South African Council of Climate, we have provided that support and we are happy with our interaction with them. On Program 7, which is the group, we have registered 7.9 million hectares, land parcels in 2008. And in this previous year, we have recorded 8.1 million hectares, land parcels. The size of the work that is done by our people. And the demand for registration information has increased significantly from last year. We have noticed that the registration of land parcels has been affected by the recession. And this is very critical, and also the FICA legislation has actually affected the number of people that qualify for bonds in the financial market, and this affects this component significantly in terms of their ability to make money from the registration of these. So this is why we are here to help them, particularly this year under review, where they made less of their income by 61 million. This is why we have to have some transfers or to shift funds to actually provide for that shortfall that they made in terms of the lesser amount that they were to get as a result of the economic recession. I've talked about the contribution to SADC. SADC countries are wanting to learn from South Africa in terms of our big registration system. We have assisted Angola, we have assisted Namibia. Namibia are going to be visiting us for the third time to come and learn from our big registration system and how they can improve it. So we are interacting with SADC on how to assist them. To improve on their registration system. In terms of financial performance, we have spent about 99.9% of our budget, which was 6.6 billion. We have spent almost all of that money, if it was not to avoid overspending. We could have spent even that 4 million which we did not spend because of compliance with the CSA. Otherwise, we could have overspent most of it in the year allocated, but we have to comply with the CSA. And as such, in this current financial year, we have exhausted our budget for execution in the first quarter. Now the second quarter will be published for restitution because of these allocations that do not fit our demand for the service. So basically we have been maintaining this 99% expenditure rate. Last year it was 99.5%. And even in the previous year, it was at that level. We had some shifting of funds, which are explained by the demand of the various programs. And they have been very common, particularly around the main programs, which is Program 4 for Restitution and Program 5 for Redistribution. So most of this shifting to reform largely by that. And then we've got, in terms of the audit, we have received an audit opinion on two issues. And one is the rental revenue specifically from land lease. The Auditor General did not obtain an assistance and appropriate audit evidence for the receivable for the departmental revenue. And disclose that in our financials. There are challenges around getting this on top of this, and it also relates to issues of state land. And the same, the second area is the tangible capital assets, where the Auditor General was not happy around the immovable property. He could not satisfy them, especially around the custodianship of the Department of the state land. I think this belongs to the explanation that I made, where I indicated that we are in a process to deal with the state land asset management. This belongs to that. Once we are on top of it, we are going to be able to deal with it. I must say that we pride ourselves that last year we had the five qualifications. We have cleared four of those qualifications, and now we remain with only two, because we want to allow one of the tangible that we do not control the original central assets. So these are the areas we do have the issue about the data system, and we would like to say that we are working hard on making a proper data system to be able to deal with this transition. And the class trading entity, we have discussed with Mr. Secretary, after the amendment of Section 2, we are now able to buy movable assets. And we have agreed with them that we need to establish a trading entity in the state department. It would work along the same lines as we did trading accounts. So they ask me people that we need a trading account to be able to deal with this business. I think I've spoken to those other tangible assets. Generally, those are the key areas that I can report on in this I think I've run out of time. I must stop there.
Thank you very much, Mr. There's a phone that is ringing. Maybe in a bag somewhere. Honorable members, here's the report in front of you. The flat plan relevant for this report is the previous one, not the current flat plan. The old one with the picture of Minister Klingon on it.
So that one should go at least the overall, the overall one should go 3, 4, and 7.
year's first. Honorable John.
Oh. Tell them that from the Kettle Bank. You know, Kettle Bank. You know, I'm a rural man. I'm a rural man. I'm still a rural area. My wife, my mom, and all of them. But I'm not talking on behalf of myself. I'm talking about rural people, whatever you can do, whatever you can do. You know, I understand your presentation and you criticize development of problems for the empowerment of women's girls and all that in the context of the you know, as a real man, you know, we need to realize that a little bit confused. I don't know what we are talking about. The presentation is so good. And as a rural man, you know, when people go to pray that you can impose I'm telling you, you know, people who came from sometime in urban area, when there is a function in urban area, we must also try to get water by water in town. Because they care to now, when we are saying empowering women and children, all of us, we saw in the TV every day, you see women in the TV, lying, take 3 kilo, 4 kilo, 5 kilo, with a water, with a 20 liter in their head. And most of us will run away from the economy. Now, when we are saying empowering for women, I don't understand. Because it's painful. You see, this woman is pregnant. And she's got a baby in a bag, and she's pregnant. And they're 20 liters in her head for 5 years. On March, yes. And Kojima Mpuri and the Kukuli Bank. 31 people died when they were using river water to us. And most of those people, they are women and children. Because we found most of the men that are in town with a dog there. Most of them, they are women and children. And last week, a lot of us, and very little conversation with this honorable Shatai, come from, she knows. Lots of us, you know, the whole situation is wrong. People are looking for water. That's water. Conversation, she knows. Now, if we are talking about rural development, I think we are so close to that. And maybe you can explain what kind of development we're talking about in rural area. And then, well, the next issue is going to get into it. And that next issue also, if you can talk. But I say, our department will make sure to do something. You know, I'm a small farmer, I'm a businessman and a small farmer. You know, in rural area, in our farmers,
honorable member, you must ask a question.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, Secretary.
You are not asking a question.
No, I'm asking, maybe listen. I say, what kind of development you are saying about?
I understand. Yes. But you're continuing still after you ask that question. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
Yes, but this is a question for the chapter. Because I want to know what you're talking about in how
I understand, honorable member. You remember that this report is not yet a report of the rural development department. It's a report of agriculture and land affairs. The one in Kogelong, Lulu Tengwa. So they are not reporting on the current department of rural development. But they have listed the objectives. That's the reason why I have allowed you. The strategic objectives of the department include the issues that you are raising. That's why I've allowed you to raise the question. They have to answer it, even if it is not captured in any particular program. But because it's an objective of the department, you have to say what have they done to address the issues that you are raising. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Ngwenya Mabila.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Let me thank the DC for highlighting some of the facilities in the challenges with regards to the expectation of the mandate of the department, and also to commend them for their training, really the 99.9, 99.3 training from the improvement. But although there were lots of of biomass that were taking place, I hope and believe that when doing those biomass, you adhere to the program as, because there were guidelines how to shift the funds from one, there are guidelines on how to shift the funds from one program to another. So, can I request then the GC to just indicate to the committee, you have mentioned the issue of the land rights management facility. Can you just share with the committee the success stories of the project that has initiated the legal service project to try and assist with regards to the land rights management facility, the Thompson one, where they still, what are the success stories, are they making it or breaking it? Then the second one is with regards to the human rights, the human resource management. On page 3 of your annual report, during the year of reporting, the CFO put an acting suit, the COO also an acting, the DDG corporate service was an acting. Just to indicate to this committee, for how long were these people acting in this post, and also what is the current situation and the impact thereof? Because if there's a high rate, I understand the improvement that was made with regards to the vacancy rate, the reduction from 32% in 7 and 8 to 15.7% in 8 and 9. What impact does it have with regards to the service delivery because of such vacancy rate? Then the last one, Chair, is just to commend you with regards to the implementation of the Employment Equity Act. Although we have exceeded the 6%, but maybe just to indicate to this committee, what support programs are there to assist the people with disability? Because really, you cannot say, hey, if just are giving numbers that so many people with disability have been employed, why they not supporting mechanism that is in place within the organization to support these people to be able to execute their activities? Is the infrastructure friendly to those people? Are there any systems in place to assist those people to be able to execute their programs, and also the level where those people have been placed? Because most of the people with disabilities are placed at lower levels, meaning that it was just undermining them, that there's nothing that they can do. But if they become receptionists, telephone whatsoever, then that's where they can be placed.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My question is, I need to ask my question regarding problem number 4, where it is actually saying that there is an agreement with Adam Sita that they will help the judiciary to receive, they will help the land decision. But when we were visiting some of the funds, to the beneficiaries across the country, we have found that these people are not beneficiaries. So I just want to find out, do you check whether the agreement to implement the agreement. That's my first question. And the second one is with regard to the plan for active learning and digital strategy. You indicated that you actually started this program actually replacing another program, and the problem was that with regard to the information from the AG, the information was all captured. So that's where the problem is, and I just want to know as whether those people who are dealing with this problem are actually capacitated to actually to be able to handle all the issues that actually emanate from that problem. And another one is with regard to asset register. And I just want to know, because it was indicated that the asset register was done and the survey was also done, but not all land was surveyed. It is an indicator that you exactly know where the land is. So I just want to find out how long are you going to take to actually register all those lands that land could actually be found where it is and actually be properly registered. And you also indicated that you've got a problem with the nation that is giving power to the premiers and some other land standards. How are you going to do this? Because it is not a it's only given this money to actually deal with this problem. And,
thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to kick off with regard to the proactive land acquisition strategy. Could you tell us how many farms were purchased? What was the total cost? Where are these situated? And I'm sure you won't have all the information with you, but please make it available, and not a year later, within the next couple of weeks. Then, Chair, the list of going concerns that were acquired by the department. You've had a qualified audit. You say five qualified audits the last time, two this time, and you see there's an improvement. I want to tell you, you'll get a half a dozen the next time. And I'll tell you why. Because you have gone and acquired going concerns where immovable and movable property is involved, and that movable property moves very fast when the people on the farm get hungry, when there is no income. So you are going to get many more qualified orders. I would like to know how many such going concerns were acquired. I asked a similar question, Chairperson, last year in November, and I received the response on the 14th of October this year, in which all I am given is just a whole lot of names of farms that were acquired, and the equipment that was acquired, global figures on the amount of money spent on livestock, for example, in one case, 7.9 million, but you're not being told how many animals were bought. For 7.9 million. If I had 7.9 million, Chairperson, I'm a multi millionaire for those animals, because I'll double them up in 3-4 years' time. We don't get that kind of information. So the information that you supply us is totally inadequate. We want to know in which district is the farm situated. This going concern. The exact location of the farm. There's no point telling us it's the farm way Macy's Fontain. We don't know in which part of Northwest or whatever. Mind you, Chair, there are way Macy's Fontain. Chair, another question. Land was restituted to the Baropomokhali community in Northwest. And I was invited out to that community on the 15th of August last year. And there were only two very junior officials of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform present on that particular day. Two very junior officials. those people complained, Chair, that after the farms were restituted, they never again received any form of assistance from the department. Now, Chair, on one of the farms that was restituted, there was a lodge which was operated by the previous owner. And today, Chair, you can go there, that lodge is no longer a lodge. My problem is that we spend millions of rand restituting land, but we don't assist the people in that transitional phase to carry on the operation that was taking place on that particular property. And hence, Chair, to resuscitate that property and to get it going again will cost an arm and a leg. What I'm saying, Chair, is that we are not spending our money judiciously. We should be assisting these people the moment the property is taken over and not leave it to go to rack and ruin. And that's happening all over. Finally, Chair, the DG said a couple of months ago that 49% of the farms that have been restituted and whatever, under land reform and whatever, are not successful. I want to tell the DG to tell us what sort of scientific survey have you conducted to come to that figure which never seems to change. I assure you that the percentage from what we see on the ground is far higher. Finally, Chair, let us work towards spending every cent that the fiscus provides us judiciously, and let us not embark on wasteful expenditure. And this is what's happening in many of these instances. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to agree with a lot of what Member Arvam was saying. I won't go into that discussion again. I think my point of view about that was made very clear to the DG and to the department. But my concern is around the commitment. In the Auditor General's report, it says that the department has made commitments up to 8.8 billion rand. We know about the commitments for land restitution. I'm really, really concerned about this. If I look at the report from the Auditor General, there's lots of mentions about capacity and problems and assets and registers got kept and things like that. I'm wondering if the department is really knowing how many commitments you have. Because this 8.8 billion sounds a bit not enough to me. If I know about the lists and lists and lists of farmers who contact me with outstanding commitments from the department, we have to get to a point where we know exactly what is going on and how much commitment there is and what's outstanding. Also, joining Mr. Abram on saying that...
Within the Auditor General's report. What is it referring to?
Just get to that page. Five audit reports from senior area qualified. And a report from the user was consulted. That's it. Three, senior qualified commitment.
Yeah.
Well, as I understand, commitment is you sign contracts to say that we are going to buy or we're going to purchase. That's, if I'm correct, what commitment means. I did ask the question to the minister about the commitment for restitution, but we don't know the other commitments. On the question of restitution, Chair, I think it was said that we have 2.4 billion rand outstanding in June last year. So basically, the department has overspent their budget. I'm not going to say they haven't overspent their budget, because they signed commitments up to, as I can understand, 8.8 billion rand.
No,
we must clarify.
Honourable, what I'm trying to say, I do not want to ask anybody not to ask a question. I want to manage stuff that the questions are answered. The Auditor General says that the department has made this commitment to this panel. Now, we need to look at the content rather than speculate about how much. And the Auditor General, if we are questioning the Auditor General, we should be questioning the Auditor General, because they are the ones who are saying they value the commitment to the tune of 8.8 million.
Yeah.
So let's deal with that rather than go beyond that.
Okay.
Because you see, we can't ask the department to answer on behalf of the Auditor General.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. My question to the department is, do we know how much outstanding commitments we have?
Beyond what the Auditor General is saying.
Yeah. And do we have a system where we put that on a some kind of a system that we know where we are, how far we're outstanding, and what is actually not on a, on the system? I don't know if I'm making myself clear of this.
When a commitment gets met,
yes,
we have a system to remove it.
Oh,
when a commitment is made, we have a system to reduce it.
Yes.
A tracking system for all the.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like to say that I've checked it because there's a lot of people. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. And then I don't know, we haven't discussed, I know it's more, but I assume that it's forming part of the whole discussion of the annual report of the Commission of Constitution.
Well, that's why the Auditor General was here.
Yes, and I'm just a bit concerned about some of these, the names of farms mentioned in this report, specifically one specific farm in Limpopo which I visited myself, and that I visited the farm before I left in court. But the farmer was concerned that they haven't received the money, which is in this report stated that they received the money, and it's one of the star programs in Limpopo being mentioned. I don't know if you want me to mention the name, but I will give it to you. So I'm worried that we're writing all these wonderful things that's happening, but when we go to on the ground, it's not there. So, you know, it's good to see the reports and it sounds fine and it looks wonderful, but are we really honest with what is going on the ground? That's my question.
I think your last comment is more reasonable because you see,
we're
not here to question the benefits of the member. We are questioning the report, not the benefits of the people. Maybe rephrase your question such that it will ask what you are asking rather than what you feel.
I'm sorry to you for that.
Rephrase.
I will rephrase my question to say that I'm not
convinced
that what I read in these reports is what's actually happening on the ground.
Because we are using the particular example of the farm, where the report says it has been paid, whereas the farmer says not been paid.
Yes.
I think you have cracked your case there.
Can I get a comment, because I want to be very frank on an open door. The name of the farm that
which you visited?
The farm biggest waste in Limpopo.
Biggest waste, one page you wrote
in? In this report, it's page
70. Is that a report, is it?
Limpopo.
Program 1 of that session under administration. you have read the Pascal, you have a framework that is produced for monitoring. So I want to find out if you can send this out to the court on that framework. We did need this photo to you. The second question goes to under programs again. Where you have fed into the food, you have hotel, you are training for beneficiaries. What I want to find out from you now, are there any qualifications required as an entry to that training? And this is the question because some of the employees are not certified, but they are potential firms who need assistance as well. And then another question is again under program one, where you have 140 employees that are trained for customer care and have expertise for complaint handling. What I want to find out is where are these employees based and can you finish up with their number? Contact number. Can I ask another question? Now is a product question from Mr. Swati about the setup. If this agreement is respected with the setup, are there any monitoring that has been provided? Because I know how to set up. They are just making money. So there has to be a monitoring. They are they really doing the job that are being paid for? Okay, let's go.
Thank
you, Honorable Chair. I'm very happy to learn from this report that we now have tangible evidence in as far as willing buyer, willing seller, and policy is concerned that the farmers are actually written off. Because this has always been a sticky point and it has actually slowed down the rate of redistribution. Now that we have this evidence that they are charging three times as much for it as the government is the buyer than if the individual is the buyer, what are we going to do? Are we approaching the stakeholders such as Conalu, such as Agri South Africa about this? Because I think this is very serious. It is eventually pushed to the government to considering expropriation if these farmers are excluded. But if this is the case, and why did the evaluators do this? I was thinking that there are evaluators in the marketplace. But if these evaluators are going to take emotional factors into account, to me it shows that there is some bias. So how are we dealing as a department with this kind of feedback? And then the second question, I come, Honorable Chair, from Asian Pan, I come from Belgium. I was deeply touched when the DP talked about the victim, which seems to be prevalent in northern areas like Dundee. He didn't mention other provinces. So if they give the formula a solution in other provinces, why is it not applying to KZN? Because it seems the tenant or the laborer in case at hand is actually not protected.
Trying to whisper so that I can get your name.
Stephen, thank you. Yes, I'll allow you to answer this question. Next to these two strategic objectives, the redistribution of the city center of the historical land in 14, and the fact that about 50% of land acquired so far is not used for that reason. I want to read to you, to allow me, one paragraph of which the Mondi Makaya, that was a Sunday Times joke earlier this week on this topic, and I want to ask. If the question should be asked, should we be spending so much energy and effort on land with the redistribution where the instinct of rural South Africans is to head for the city to seek employment and upward mobility? Should we be taking land from successful commercial farmers where many peasants feel are buying fallow throughout the South African countryside? Is it in the interest of good citizens to keep our farmers in a permanent state of unpleasantness? And further, land redistribution is cutting up physical and intellectual energy. This needs to be given much more efficient decision to make agriculture as sexy as investment banking. It is the only sustainable way we will reverse the terrible legacy of apartheid land distribution. Not by trying to take a horse to a river that does not want to drink from. So maybe my question is on the political field, but I still want to put it on the table. What is the important comment be to your statement about that coming from the wing that you're very influential intellectual in the view? Thank you.
It's a very unfair question. No, I understand. You see, because what we need to be doing in this committee, we should be confining our questions to the report of the Auditor General and the report the department has given us. Because not everybody agrees with Mr. Makanya on what he's talking about. So to divert ourselves by talking about Makanya's comments and views and not deal with the reports that are in front of us may create a problem. You have a right to ask the question, but I think as the chair of the meeting, I should make it possible for DG to answer questions. If the question is unanswerable, then I have to protect it. Thank you very much. DG, we will ignore Makanya's comments. He has a right to those views, but they should not influence us. Yes. Madam Kawa.
Until we could be managed, Baba Nanga, who knows, Oma for the school, my blood in fact. My cocktail and the blood of the one pattern. The former you, after that, Magabon would be so far left in our chief segment of the man. My ear is half lapper. The thing about the day was telling me. Tell one for me to I'm going to go to the house.
Thank you, sir. On page 14, the Commission of Restitution of Land Rights, total of 253 claims, including that 108, but 108 were dismissed. Maybe the DG should just give us what the reason for dismissing so many claims. For example, to make me to understand, it's a big number, 108. I am worried about the high rate. Because I don't think the department can be in a good position to fulfill what the government wanted the department to do if there are so many vacancies that are not filled. The reason why this is just because of not enough resources or not getting qualified people to be employed on those positions, I don't know. Another thing that I don't understand here is to have a register for 3 years of government for state land. That is the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, provincial legislature, municipalities. Why don't we have one register with the national? Then on that register, in the case that this land belongs to provincial, controlled by what is public works, or this one is controlled by defense, and this one is controlled by education. Then to say we have different registers, whereas we say we are controlling the land, I feel we should have one register, the main one, so that each and every, when you say public works, you have so much land under your control, what are we doing about that? Defense, what are we doing about that? You can't say that because it seems that each and every person who is controlling the state land has his own power. Nobody else can just control that person. Another thing is maybe from own interest to want to find out from the CC. You know that when people claim some land, the owner of the land is advised that not to make anything now. Maybe the department comes with the evaluation of that land and says so much, so you mustn't make an improvement. There are some farmers who have been stopped almost more than 10 years without source of income. Because they can't make any improvement on that land, they can't do anything. But what is nature? These farmers are also our people, South African citizens. How can we allow them to stay there in the farm, not getting paid, so that they can go and do something else? But even the value of the farm is going down more than anything. why are we doing this?
I wanted to understand there was an intensive program, the bursaries that are given to, I think, students to go and study. But it seems not to be addressing the problem that is there of the vacancy and the capacity at the same time. My question is there any retention strategy in the department? Those that are trained, that went to train, to come and assist the department, are they signing any sort of a contract to ensure that when they come back, then they are safe in the department for a certain period? The second one, the person is in connection with the asset register. There seems to be people that own land or assets that belong to the government. How do they get hold of that asset? And what are we doing in that regard? Because if we are able to trace that this land belongs to the former Boer and now it's owned by Helen Matanyane, there must be some routine that is being done in the process of handing over to the new administration. What is the process that is in place to show that asset that belongs to the government must belong to the government? It must be listed on the asset register of the department. And the other issue is in connection with the provinces and the municipalities. What cooperation do we get from them when it comes to the issue of the asset register? Because as national government, as Honorable Zuna has said, we need to be in control of this asset register. We need to be knowing exactly what are we owning where. And if there's a person inside, is that person paying rent? Or what is the situation there? The other issue that the Auditor General told us about Chairperson is on superfluous expenditure. The issue of buying land and then we end up paying for something else that doesn't have anything to do with the land. The example is here is paying for tourism levy when we are not supposed to be doing that. Can you clarify us as to what happened here? Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, first of all, I think I would just like to convey a word of appreciation on the motion that you presented yesterday in concerning the state of rural development. Because I think we are all new and we want to make sure that we hear what the other members are saying, and so we will take advice. So we just hope that it will be taken seriously. I want to highlight a few things, and I am sorry if I will be repeating that maybe I will be, and please don't hesitate to put me down. On page 25, we already talked a lot, all of us, about the qualified audit opinion. And we know now that the reason was that the old land from the new land was actually never separated fully. Everyone, right, maybe find out from now the department. And I'm repeating, but I think I wanted to have something else on my repetition. We know that during the apartheid years and during the takeover, during the homeland system, there was
an issue on the property and the assets that were actually never found where they been. I want to find out then from you, through the check, whether those assets eventually have been received. We know that there was a confusion and some got left. So, after 15 years, can we now say we've got all the assets? The next one is the principle of the consultant. We hear that the consultant were helping the department during 07-08. We would like to know what skills were transferred and whether there has been any visible improvement as far as that. And at any rate, my last question is about the absence of the CFO and the COO looking at how important the auditor's comments are on the accuracy of information due to lack of financial systems, also that the fact that the department does not have a complete asset. Again, we say there's no complete asset of the immovable properties because they belong to the national government under the custodianship of the department. And I know that the department has a problem of the water, Minister of Water, Minister of Environment, Minister of Mining, Minister of everything, having also the land up under the order. So if the department can tell us how we can help and how also they are putting a plan to see how this coordination of all these land pieces are done. Thank you very much.
My list has been exhausted. Any other member that wants to raise the question, put it down in writing. Then we will make sure that the department answers the question. But for purposes of this particular meeting, what you could do, you group your questions by program. And then you share them among yourselves so that we can then deal with that particular program question and finish and move on to the next. I want us to follow the in line with the report that you take with you. All questions related to the administration, you must exhaust them and put them aside and move on to the next question. I know when you wrote them down, you did not write them on that basis, including myself. I didn't write them according to that. But the most systematic way to deal with them is if we dealt with them a program. It will help you also to know that you are moving on to the next program in a structured way. I hate Honorable Abraham, the soldiers taught us very well. They say that when you retreat in chaos, you may not be able to rescue your injured. It must be an orderly retreat. So to give DG the space to retreat orderly, let's give him the avenue. You see, when you say that a wounded child is more dangerous than the one that is targeted, it's because you want him locked up in the corner, and when he wants to get out and you're standing in this way, he will kill you. Let's organize it that way.
Thank you very much. I'm going to ask the local media,
Internship program, it's a national government program, and the individual is expected to work for the department for a 12-month period, whereafter the individual is not contractually bound. If we employ, then obviously the person will sign a normal employment contract. The graduate program is a different program. It's a 4-year program, and we do give intensive training to the individuals that we employ in terms of that program. And they do sign a contract of 2.5 years to be contractually bound to the process so that we actually do get a return on our investment. Our experience in the past year has taught us that due to the effectiveness of the internship and the graduate program, they normally do get employment on a more permanent basis before even the year is up. We are very happy that it works in that manner. The second area related to disability management. And it is one of the flagship programs in the department. We do have a disability forum, which is chaired by a disabled person, and they do work according to the slogan of the national and international disability community, which says nothing about us or our lives. And that principle is applied in the department very successfully. We do have even 2 senior managers who are people with disabilities, which we are very proud of. And there are a fairly equitable distribution around the different levels. If I look at the distribution, there are a number of them which we find at level 5, 6, and 7 in the organization, which is essentially the team leader and first level supervisor rank. So those are the individuals that we do see a future for in terms of future promotion. And we do make sure that we look carefully at the disabled individuals in terms of their performance. We do provide reasonable accommodation, equipment, for example, wheelchairs, devices to be able to steer a vehicle, etc. So that we do have a policy on this and we make sure that we do reasonably accommodate where possible. The one area related to the buildings and the disability friendliness of the buildings, unfortunately the report is not so pleasant. We do have a number of buildings in the department which is not disability friendly as it should be. We've done a complete audit of these buildings and have established a project together with the Department of Public Works to make sure that these buildings do become disability friendly over the next few years. It is a very costly program and some of the buildings are very old, so the changes that we do make is very costly, but it's an area that we do work on very extensively. The question relating to the monitoring and evaluation framework, the framework has been developed in the department, and the focus of the framework is based on the operational plan that we do highlight the different areas of delivery in the department according to the strategic and operational plan, and they are then independently monitored by other main components in the department. The managers are required to report on a quarterly basis and provide evidence for the number of hectares, for example, it must be proven that it was X amount of hectares. And the MNE College then interrogates this report in great detail to make sure that when it goes to the DGA, that it is fully informed of progress in terms of the detail in the process. The question relating to whether the training for land reform beneficiaries and execution beneficiaries that we've developed through the University of State Air require any prior qualification? The answer is no, it does not require prior qualification. It has been designed to be presented to individuals who have it level 3 and 4, which is intended for a very low level of schooling. So we do not require any formal training, and it's also presented by individuals that have proven the competence in terms of presenting it to adults who have not had a formal schooling. The during this year 4 years, very progressive in assisting the department with this matter, and they have developed an extensive program which is working very effectively. In terms of the interesting relations to the complaint handling individuals that have been trained, where they are based, individuals are based throughout the department. When the training program was conducted, we requested each manager in different components to nominate individuals that could be of service to that specific component. So they are distributed throughout the department in all the components. We have also developed an IT system which will assist the department to manage and monitor complaints. So that if complaints come in about a certain topic, we can see trends that is coming through. We are busy with the implementation of that system, and I'm sure by the end of this year we will be able to report in our annual report fully on the efficiency of the system. If I can maybe briefly then just address the area of the high vacancy rate. The vacancy rate is still too high for the department, and it is an area which we are actively working on, making sure that we reduce the vacancy rate even more considerably. Some of the reasons why these vacancies exist, and if we do a detailed analysis, the area where we need skills is at a more higher level, more senior individuals, which is around 7, level 9, 10, 11, and 12, and then also in some of the SMS categories. This is typically the area where we continue to recruit to find jobs in the market, and we do find that we don't find multiple skills in those levels. Now, in discussions with the Department of Public Service Administration, the intention of the Occupational Specific Administration, the OSD, is exactly to address those areas to ensure that we do have more effective remuneration package so that we can attract more individuals at that level. The intention of the internship as well as the graduate program is to make sure that we do have skills for the future. However, the graduates and the interns are not of the required skills and competency at this stage to be employed in the levels in which we require of them. So some of these positions are advertised continuously, and we don't seem to be able to fill them on a regular basis. And the development program is a bit slow, it will only be beneficial in the next year. As far as the vacancy of the specifically the chief financial officer is concerned, one of the things is a position that we have seen exist in terms of filling. And there are different reasons why candidates nominated never achieve duty. Some of them not in the field because they are not part of the council, etc. Which is actually the area that we are struggling with at that level. There is a very serious requirement from cabinet for private accountants to be in the position of a chief financial officer. And we do advertise, and the experience level that we get with the qualification, that's 2 or 3 years practical experience, which is problematic. Budget of $6 billion is difficult to manage, and it's a concentrated program that we are working on. There is another process which we are at the interview stage, which will be conducted with our minister in the next few weeks, where we hope that we will be able to be employed as a part of the council service function. But all of these positions are being tracked very carefully to make sure that we don't waste time in terms of the recruitment process, and that we do find the required skills as far as we can. Chairperson, I believe those are all the questions for the IPC program. Thank you.
A little bit, let's say a little bit on program one in these two areas. In each, we had a lengthy discussion with the Auditor General on the two areas where you have had qualification. We have dealt with the reason of the cause, and we think that the lack of monitoring and control of systems, even though your consultant has cleared your qualification. Remember, there was a qualification that you hired consultants coming clear. And the Auditor General is clear that you have cleared that part. But he or she or together, man and woman, have decided that there's a question as to whether you could sustain that clear qualification. I don't know what we call it. Because of the lack of skills in those particular areas. So the high vacancy rate that the honorable member is raising cannot be enough land to warm. We cannot be comfortable with the answer that we have to have. And he tells us that the specific program that we will follow to acquire the skills necessary. Currently, we're shooting in the dark. He has advertised, and he found people that are not there. It doesn't look like he has a solution to the problem. If you are looking, I don't know how many TAs you are looking for, or how many levels of financial skills you are looking for, because the Department of Treasury in the UK was looking for 6 TAs, and they contacted the Institute of Chartered Accountants, SICA. They got the 6 TAs within 2 months. I can prove it because I have dealt directly with Chantelle Mulza of SICA. If I can give you, at the end of this meeting, her telephone number to look for the TAs you're looking for, or those people who are qualified enough to be supportive to the TAs you're looking for. Now, this has nothing to do with me. It has to do with helping the department to acquire the necessary capacity to fill the vacancies in that area where the vulnerability and the weakness of the department have been identified by the qualification. I think that area should be within the next 2 months. It is not really necessary for you to run into another problem because you do not know where to run to. The sort of the Institute of Chartered Accountants can assist you. They can even give you on loan until you are still the agent. The second area that the honorable member is dealing with is the issue of commitment. Now, it is not under your area.
Let him come into the financial part of
the financial, the administrative part of it.
Yeah.
It's in the financial side, yeah. not in the capacity area. Okay. Because I thought that the system, which was the point raised by the honorable member, yes, is the area that must be generated, it's a staffing matter. Fine, if we have to deal with it, that is that, then the first program one and go to program two. Yes? Yes, sorry, there's a follow up.
Yeah, there was a question that I put on how long it is going to be the effort, because already, according to the TSA, I haven't supposed to ask for a specific period, but I don't get that for how long it is going to be the effort, because the report that we're getting is just that the post has been advertised and everyone is telling me that they so here we're talking about compliance.
Before we get any other follow-up, let's deal with the acting CFO. You wanted to clarify something.
Okay. Thanks very much. I'm going to deal with 4 questions that we have related to the financial. The first one was that the compliance with the environment, whether we comply with the environment.
Oh, you're not explaining anything regarding the vacancy. I thought you were going to deal with that. Okay. Now, someone whispered to me that I will give you an opportunity to clarify something. That's fine. But why don't you deal with the follow-up question now? The gentleman over there.
Thank you.
There's another follow-up question which you will deal with when you deal with
the I think we want to get a very clear what is going to happen is the absence of the BPC is very important. I mean, as I said, commitment, the absence of the state home, the absence of the school, the chief operating officer. Without those people, really, the department is doing stuff forever. So, if they can just tell us more about what they are doing, we can.
Yeah, you see, DG, at the end of this answer, we want some comfort. Because, you see, we do not want the 17%, which comes down from 21, which comes down from 22 previously. We want zero. Because what we want to do is... because, you see, the additional question that we ask here silently, what happened to the money that was budgeted for those vacancies? Because you tell us that you left with 4 million that you didn't spend in the financial year. But you're not telling us whether the money comes from that, those programs where they did not employ staff, which were budgeted for, whether it comes from the programs that should have delivered some services to the beneficiaries. Without asking that question, which is a clear forward answer, can you deal with a clear plan? How will you fill the vacancies by when? Remember, when you don't fill those vacancies, even if it's 2%, it reduces your capacity to perform the function. Yeah. Tell us.
The department follows a training program, which is on the basis of prioritized positions. In a continuous basis, we review the areas where vacancies of priority come up, and they are then prioritized in the process of recruitment. At the moment, the department...
Don't say things that are going to create another problem. Because why would you have a vacancy that is not a priority? Which means you can go without having that post filled. Why do you have it anyway? Don't say those things. Just answer our question, please.
Clearly, the position of CSO, the department has exercised resources that we've been able to get on in charge of the problem. And we are taking the Office of Minister to take those interviews. That will happen in the next 2 weeks. It's very important that the Muslim organization from the department. As far as the other positions that are open and listed on page 3 of the department, some of them are affected by the structure of the department that has been changing for the rural development program that we are busy with at this point in time. The position of the COO, for example, do not appear in the new structure, so that vacancy is restricted to exist. In the case of the DDG for corporate services, that would be a new position. That is to be filled as soon as the next service is in place. So because we are in the transitional phase of moving from the Department of Land Affairs to the Rural Development Land Reform, there are areas where we are changing emphasis in terms of the improvement program. In the case, for example, of the execution of land rights, they do have 252 vacancies at the moment. We are not placing emphasis on filling out those positions at the present because the program is really trading down in terms of the execution system. However, in other areas, we are placing more emphasis on processing and support issues. That function is really trading up. So, here it's very difficult for me to give you an exact. Precise answer to this, as we are putting this to the transitional program at the department of this place. We have redesigned the structure of the department that is with the Department of DPSA for the agreement. And as soon as that comes back, the department will start actively to fill all the vacancies that we have. The commitment in terms of our existing plan is that the vacancies that we have at the moment, we will fill them before the end of this financial year. Especially at the senior management level, we need to make sure that those vacancies are prioritized and that they are funded and that they are sought.
Thank you, that's helpful, Honorable Member. I don't know how to call you guys, because you're not Honorable Member. The next, yeah, it's you now.
The follow-up to say where did this money come from and where did it go to. Like I said before, I think the presentation is really reflect shifting from this problem and to this problem and how much was it cost. And then saving 100% the question from Honorable Abraham, yes, we tried by all means to spend 100% of the budget, however, we are accepted. We have finished payment on this particular problem.
Don't want to ask the question, just answer the question.
Then the third question was on flood. Flood for the financial year that we were talking about, we said 1.4 billion and 1.2 plus minus 1.4 pounds. We can give more specific details and look at the response that was given and talk to other years. That's why maybe they see that we're not here, but they can define the financial year so that they never can expect it. And on the issue of the good offices that were bought under disabled funds, that information is there, is available, it's just that they could be those and those of papers. I'll describe without accepting the name of the family, if you can work on a certain thing. There were two questions that emanated from the Auditor General's presentation. The first one was of commitment. The commitment basically in the family means, especially under the CCP, whenever you approve a farm, that farm goes with the grant. So those grants are not paid to the CCP. They go to our commitment director. Hence, according to the financial principles, we need to be there in our person. And if you understand that, the grants are not supposed to be paid to the CCP. And then the one of I'm sure the operations will assist here. And you will know that when Smart started, they bought some of the issues that were not covered by the operation. And yes, that was satisfied as I think a very nice experience because the airport has been there. The capital of the airport is not for the operation. Yes, there were some of the farms that they are under investigation whereby we may have caused their properties under speculation and our people to be to work for other projects. There are currently of information into that of the that was one of our conversations. There's a kind of understanding that if you hand over the farm, you need to enter into a particular accident or an accident. So the conversation here was basically saying that our people are not updating where they are not renewing it on time, so that they enter with the people who are on the farm. That's the conversation. But we are waiting with a hard on that, looking forward to seeing this for you.
I like the way that the fact that you're speeding through them, but you left one particular little detail for us, time frames for the things you're talking about. So we are busy, we are busy, we are busy, what are the time frames? By when will you give us the report on the land you're talking about? Remember when you consulted, it's clear that after Predator on Slav land. They were working on documents, like you were saying, those rings of data in boxes. But, and you said the movable assets are available in those, in that report, they're found. We're not asking for a sample. Honorable Abraham is not asking for a sample, he's asking for all that information. Say yes, say financially. Please will help us to understand what they said. Let's explain, because I think your teachers, the members here, are not asking to trick anything. The concern we have here is that, we remember the background information we have, that the state is unable to tell the country how much land it has. You yourself tell us some of this land is registered in private people's names, third parties, even though in your books they are reflected as state land. So the honorable members want to make sure now that when a particular time comes, all the land that is called state land will be registered in the asset register of the state. And as far as we understand, you are called the Department of Land Affairs, changing the name. Therefore, all the land of the state must be registered in the register of state land. Whether the user department is public works or the user department is agriculture or whatever, it must be registered in that asset register of the state. Now, if we can't ask this question, who else is going to ask it? We're asking this question on behalf of Parliament. Parliament asks this question on behalf of the nation. That's all we're interested in. Please help us there. Give us time frames. When are you delivering this information to us? You see, that question you brushed aside, the honorable member, I'm sorry, your register of commitment. There was an in-depth question on that. I even defended you the way she was attending the question. But you're now embarrassing me for defending you because you're brushing the question aside. You registered the grant, the commitment register. The question was specific. Do you know for sure what those commitments are? Because the next question, because the question is raised by doubt. You remember I even said your bona fides must not be questioned. The next question is going to be, can you show us? Because the honorable member shows the lack of confidence in the information provided. So the next question is going to say, show us that register of commitment. That is where the problem lies, honorable acting CFO. Don't brush anything aside because it's important to us. It's our work. Many people in the nation are saying that members of parliament are loitering around and doing no work. When we are here, we ask you specific questions in order to get specific answers. We get told the asset register is there. It's not good enough. I'm sorry. Did you?
Yes, I think one of the areas is to be in the box of program. Because you are responding to the money part. Most of the questions you have raised are going to be answered by Bruce Aban, who is going to respond to the program part. So I think it was the issue of change.
You made that when program one was reported that I cannot answer some certain questions because that program reaches around another one. You're doing the same thing now on this one.
On this one of commitment, we do have a list. This is what we have shared with the auditors. They have gone through the list. But their challenge is that the list that we gave them is Excel-based, and they think it should have been on a system-based. The system, like you would have in accounting, your Excel system, or the data state land management system. That's where we have differed with the auditor. We said we got this Excel spreadsheet, which lists all these commitments. So that where their insistence was on us putting that system on an electronic system, and we were using an excess practice. And they were saying that perhaps we need to improve on the excess system. And we have said we are looking for advice from them as to which system they recommend we should put, so that this thing is on a database system as opposed to the excess spreadsheet. That is what we are discussing with the auditor. So we do have a list not only of restitution but other commitments such as in the land reform, like in the balance of funds and all of that. So what I'm saying is that on the commitment we do know what we have signed. Where there is a confusion is where some of the transactions are still before the commitment. In other words, where we sign that we are going to pay. Where we have signed, for example, the deeds of faith. Some affirmers have agreed, but the deeds of faith have not been signed yet. And now they are saying, if you have agreed, when will you sign for us to get the payment? Now, in those cases, the DFMA does not allow us to sign agreements, deed of faith agreements, for monies that we do not have. So we could not be able to sign those agreements, because otherwise we will be committed, and those commitments attract interest once we have signed the sale agreement. So because of that, we have not been able to sign the agreement. But the in principle agreement has been agreed and entered into with the farmer that you are selling the land and we need to transfer. But where there are commitments to say there are different signs, we have asked for those schedules from all the programs, and those commitments are there. So
this 8.8 billion rand that the Auditor General is talking about is something that you have signed for?
Yes, it's on the schedule. There is a schedule. The 8.8 million, that's there.
Is it million or billion?
It's million.
Million?
It's billion, sorry. It's a billion.
Yes.
It's a list of schedule, commitments that we've got. We've even said we've disclosed that 8.8 billion with national measures. They are aware of that. That's what we have discussed with them.
And it does not fall within this category of commitment you have no money for?
No, it doesn't. This 8.8 million we don't have money for, and we have to pay for it. So that's why we are sharing it with National Treasury. But National Treasury, you've got the 8.8 billion that we have signed for, and the nature of it is restitution, and it is developmental grant. The reason why this 8.8 million has not been transferred to the people is most of them is because there are no developmental plans for those people, for those land reform beneficiaries. So the issue is that if the developmental plans, that is what we are discussing with National Treasury, if the developmental plans are there and are coming forward, we would need to get this commitment to be paid. That's what we are discussing with National Treasury. So
the more you speak, the deeper you swim into the ocean for me. Initially, you don't make a commitment unless you have money.
Yes.
Now, you make a commitment even if you do not have the money. Mm-hmm. Because it hinges on the developmental plan of the discipline. Mm-hmm. And the treasury will give you the money as and when a development plan gets put on the table. And according to the Jewish groups, they stopped signing those commitments.
Yes.
So the 8.8 billion is no longer growing now.
Yes.
But the 8.8 billion is growing in terms of impact.
Yes. Restitution.
Yes.
Yes.
So you will incur additional costs, which means, therefore, we may have a qualification next year for fruitless activities. Because you did a 8.8 billion commitment where you accrued interest when you did not have the money. Am I wrong, Chairman?
No, it's not accruing interest. It's the something means that for each and every parcel of land under the system that you commit to, it has got that element of development aspect that you must take. So if you look at page 87 of the annual report, it's complexity for the government so that the state knows exactly what are the future commitments going forward in terms of finance. It's an accounting way of recording all the claims. There's no interest there at that
time. I see.
Yeah, let me explain that the one that attracts interest is the one that is with the current landowner. But this one of development grants, it does not attract interest because it is in terms of Section 15 of the Regulation Act, which is a developmental subsidy or a developmental grant that is given as a subsidy to the people. So it does not attract interest, that component. It is a developmental grant that is a support grant to those people. So that is why it does not attract interest. In other words, we do not owe them anything because we don't owe them any interest because that grant will be a gesture of the state to support them to develop what the land that the state has bought for them.
Okay.
So it does not attract any interest.
So this 8.8 billion is not money you owe to beneficiaries, not to any farmer.
Yes.
Thank you very much. In June, the reaction at the attack, after whom Saba told me Saba would. In both couples. Next problem. You may have a problem here, Claire Sachs.
Yeah. I think that was the attempt.
Honorable Tolo wants to.
You know, the gentleman, I'm saying, not coming was to the better place. Because this place, some of us, we have right from Tigerstone, it's very hot. You know, the lady, she was sitting next to me here. It's very difficult for us to be from the I'm telling you, it's a problem.
You are my shop steward, Honorable. I have already made a formal complaint, so you are adding to that. It's all right. We will never come back to this hotel again. Even if it means we're going to be a fire. What is that place? What is that place in Gordon's Bay?
Rinabaya.
Riabaya. We have a problem with time, please.
The second program is the program.
I have noted the questions of follow-up, but I have been suppressing them because I'm worried about that. Mm-hmm. You know, honorable members, write them down.
Yeah, the three next patients, the semantic is not well. So the three next patients, if we were going to stop them, we could not conduct the census because the Department of Statistics uses the information that comes from these business stations. That we have to maintain them regularly. Where you need to get the information in any of the areas. There are so many of them in the country. So we cannot stop them. They are very critical, not only to this department, but to other departments, such as your local municipalities for their planning. They use that information we generate from the public and then from this, and they are used worldwide. If you look your Google Earth and other information that is partial or is that, they use this signal station. So if we would stop it, it would collapse. It would have impact even in the old economy.
Properly motivated, it is that part.
The third program on survey and mapping, which is program 3. The next question belongs to that. And it has to do with how long will it take to survey the state land and all of that. We have a challenge. We still have to quantify the problem. And in Google, respond
stronger than the average in any area of qualification. We are one of the five priorities of the country, whose parliament is supposed to be monitored. This qualification is more serious than just what the DG says. As far as we understand, we had a lengthy discussion with the Auditor General on this one. It comes way back from 1994. Honorable Hanga Nigeria was the minister in the Western Cape, they are called Minister of Local Government, in 2003, financial year. This survey was being done even then. She's shocked that this thing has not been finalized by now. So, Kasnidi, you know, as I like to say, that do what is like Ribani. There is no excuse about Bantustan, no excuse about local government and provinces. The national department may know. Is the one that has the responsibility to survey and register land. Mina Kubanin is when I'm into culture.
Thank you. We come to questions on program 5. We can just deal with program 4 now.
We made a commitment in your presence, especially when I don't know which month it was. Honorable Abraham will remember that we remember on TV there was an honorable chair of the parliament called Bloom, who was a really Hollywood star when it comes to engaging the Department of Correction and Service. Every day he was on TV about the corruption that's going on there. We made a commitment to you that we will not be playing to the gallery when we engage you. But don't expect us to be sweet at portfolio committee. You remember that? We were there at Maxwell. There's a specific question asked on agri speaker. You are assisting, are you engaging, you have capacity to monitor what they claim to be their training. Yes, we're happy to know that they have put aside 20 million for the training. The capacity internally to monitor their ability to deliver on that training, that's what we're asking. You don't answer that.
No, clarify that they do not have the required capacity, but our agreement is that we need to identify service providers. So, we have the capacity to offer service. So, they would maybe do the calculation to pay those providers. But as we see now, this program will not be the capacity.
Yeah, honorable. They have no capacity, they engage, they set back. You, your own capacity, to monitor whether the third party will deliver on that contract.
Yes, internally within the department, the situation has changed because the department is using that capacity internally, the new department. So it will not be done in the old way.
wood on it. You see, fearful just now what we're talking, we said, we hear what you're saying, but give us time frame. So the structure of the department is under construction. So will it not happen within the financial year, this financial year? Or will it, because remember we will sit here next year and talk about the same thing. We want to know which one can we believe on those things you are saying you are going to do. Remember, you have given us a strategic plan. We are looking at a different strategic plan of that other year. Next year, we'll be having this one, the one that you gave us. So what Commissioner Mpela is telling us now is that the department is changing. By when will you have the capacity so that when you sit here next year, we know we'll give you 60%, 40%, 60%, 20% of the necessary capacity to perform that function. You remember, we are looking at the training of beneficiaries. The CFO told us you are scaling down on their land rights, you are upscaling on your post-settlement training or support. So that post-settlement support being scaled up, by when will it have the capacity to perform its own function? So that when we come and sit here next year, we say, you told us this, show us the place. Commissioner Penn?
The first pilot is already being implemented to the On this issue of capacity, we have this monitoring in the evaluation component, which writes our reports on the review, also respond to the question that they had, what was the basis of the 49%. They had a report, and report two reports, where we reviewed restitution and the average, where we identified the shortages of the program. So that report...
The answer is, you have the capacity now.
Yeah, we do have capacity, but we are improving on that capacity on M&E, the monitoring and evaluation component. It is the one that does the impact analysis to see whether the programs we are implementing are effective or not. This one will fall under.
I agree, but you see, Commissioner Bell is not giving us that answer. We want a simple, you remember we were worried about time. We want a simple answer. The honorable members are asking the training with AgriSA, AgriSA, that they will provide. Will you have the capacity to monitor what they provide? And Commissioner Bell says they do not have the capacity themselves as AgriSA. He does not say, but we do. That's all we ask you for, Honorable Mpela. Continue. Don't worry about who asked the question. Just answer the question.
In what happened last year when the plane was handed over to the police. Yes, indeed, the commissioner was not in the position to attend, but the problem with lack of support is due in part to the fact that there was an agreement with the Northwest Park to provide assistance in terms of even planning and also in terms of offering various services, producer special project conservation and special. For which we rely on the passport. So the passport today we have already implemented here in the is part of the committee for passport beneficiaries. So that was the reason. The one what is named.
Wait, Commission. When you give us answers, you are satisfied that you have given us an answer. You know, we must be satisfied that you have given us sufficient now. You see, the point we were belaboring right now about the M&E. Look at what he's saying now. They signed an agreement with the Northwest platform to provide support to the beneficiaries. They did not. He says they delayed. You remember they say in law, justice delays is justice denied. They did not do it. So you're confirming the point that the members are making. What do you want? You will make the working relationship between ourselves and yourself very easy. When we ask a question, we are asking a question to point out some weakness in the system. That's all we're trying to do. So if you give us an answer that says, yes, we see this weakness, this is what we are going to do to rectify it, then it makes your work even easier. It makes our work also easier. So your M&E is your internal capacity to monitor all these agreements, to monitor all the third parties that are providing services and so on. Evaluation is whether you got value for money from those parties. So Tina, when we go out to check, we check whether the monitoring is taking place. The evaluation report tells us that what we saw is in fact proven by what is happening. So, Commissioner Bella is brushing the water aside. This is a very important one for us. It may not be important to you, but it's important to us. We get paid to do this. You want to get into what has happened is that this has created another problem. Because it raises the question, how many other contracts and programs do you have which fall under your enemy? So that if we have a list of them being monitored, we can measure your capacity to perform that function. So we are expecting a report that will form part of your annual report next year. That will consist of all your evaluations of those contracts that inform the program that the work that was farmed out to other contractors have been done, you got value for money, and the beneficiaries have successfully benefited from the service rendered. You may not be a local government structure, you may not have all the territories of the Bending of Tires in the street, but the beneficiaries out there in the rural area who have no voice have got voice here in Parliament through these members. Yes. Kubage Commission. I'm highlighting the point and I know that it's recorded.
And the question of general support also, the support that the community in most of our issues, right, because the beneficiaries of the trust are a problem this year, the way they administer the money, and the power process. They are very unable to ask this project stay, and it's not just one that we have to do. So even there, I think the report that we give is available. Because there is a handover period, because the state cannot be involved. Once we have done this one training and support, we have to come into care. In certain instances, it's also the sort of the partners that the beneficiaries actually are dealing with. Some instances, people with experience, so-called experience, take beneficiaries for a life, and actually, tend to benefit from the modern beneficiaries. The way the deals are structured, for example, comes to
talk. So, again, where's the M&E?
You are not allowed to do at the end of this meeting, I'll tell you a story.
The next one?
I like that story very well.
The next one? The 108 claims dismissed. They are dismissed for various reasons, in that they do not comply with Section 2 of the Act, which requires claims. Because rest in Mahova Truth, as far as we know, the farmer was made, thank you very much for the news. The former minister launched the handover and celebration last year in Mahova Truth. So if there are any sort of complaints that we are not aware of,
clearly the farmer has a lawyer that did the transfers and all the other legal things. So usually the money sits in the trust account until registration takes place. So it can easily be followed up. Thank you very much. You will give it a bit?
Yes, it's due now. I'm not here for
it. Okay. M2. I'm going to call her out just while they're in the room. She did it. Are really not upping the stakes when it comes to me. This committee has visited from another committee. You and yourself must give us confidence that the department is in the right hands. We can go around and tell the nation that this department is in good hands. So if you give us doubt, we also doubt to tell the nation that this department is in good hands. From June, to the old of a colony. Quite soon, though, I'm not meaning to check on me.
Honorable Chair, as a matter of fact, we are busy right now coming up with a publication that will assist us. But obviously, if you want to communicate, it also costs money. We want to see how we can reprioritize to go to community radio stations, to go to local forums. To make sure that people are aware.
No, seriously. Honorable Mr. asked a specific question. He was almost like appealing that the report from KZN indicates that there is a high concentration of evictions in the northern KZN. In fact, the report which was made available to us by the facility indicates that if KZN is free state, Northwest. It's arrived in that band. and we are unable to call the lawyer here, at least we can talk to you. Tell us, what is the plan to, so that Honorable Usman can rest in peace. Not die, but at least feel comfortable.
Honorable Chair, if you look at the report, it will tell you that probably the biggest number of the panel of attorneys we have, of the 100, the majority of them are the same. So we are on the spot, we are seeing the report. They is both in panel, but they are also internally in the department, in the court, on the ground. We have people that are checking all these particular issues. We are very, very much on top of those issues in the specific area of Gandhi and other parts of the province.
Let's make it easy for you, Duke Gossi, but let's make it easy. You with your team of provincial reps, come here and talk to us about it. We want a program specifically that says how do labor tenants and people living on farms get to know this information. We were, this facility gave us a pamphlet or a booklet that says this is a guide for government officials to follow. It also says local authorities have a role to play in doing this thing. So let's set a date, sit down, let's talk about it.
Thank
please,
you.
Continue.
Chair, the question about the effectiveness of processing support and the accuracy of the numbers of projects that are sustainable in the country. And I think it is true, Chair, that indeed, when we did the review of LRAC projects, over 1,500 at the time the 10-year people of 29%, it is highly likely that more projects may have collapsed. Remember that we for many years, the former Department of Agriculture solely relied on the provincial Department of Agriculture to provide processing support. It is only now that this department has decided that itself will provide this processing support capacity. Now, we got a plan for the medium term. We have part of the environment that the FNCFO was talking about was to move money of the last project that we gave over talking about. We have had to move money, get permission from National Treasury, so that we ensure that we provide people with inputs, we provide people with big boreholes and all those. So that plan is in process. We will just wait for National Treasury to give us the approval. We have recently obtained the approval, so we will be in the approval. The same thing would apply to all other level 4 projects, including the LRAC project. So it is true that it is possible that some of those projects that were started way back in 2007, if they did not get the support that they needed, may have failed. So I would not
dispute that. Of course, Mr. Doctor, how are you going to Could you, three offices, Eastern Cape, the 4.50, the chief director wrote letters confirming a moratorium on LRA. We have seen those letters here in this committee. So your people, whilst you are working hard to give us this kind of confidence you are showing, they are telling us that there is a moratorium on LRA. So which makes your point about more collapses possible here, but it makes Honorable Abraham's question even more potent.
Honorable Chair, indeed, Honorable Abraham has not given me to answer. I have to explain with you, Chair. You see, the department has got a baseline allocation. We had a budget, the baseline allocation of 3.8 million. At any given time, each and every office receives more applications. for land acquisition than it has for baseline allocation. So at some point, you've got to say, wait a minute, I've got 100 million. I can only commit up to 100 million. And therefore, you can't process more applications than you've got budget available. In the case of the Boko, in the case of the state, they reach that particular point. It's in fact say that there was the same problem. They reach that particular point where they had more applications or files for them than there was money available. So you've got to send some people away. We can't help you because we can't commit the state on the basis of a budget that's not available. That is why I said, for me, that does not constitute a moratorium. There isn't a moratorium on airlines. There is only a moratorium on something else before. But to respond to your
question.
I'm not saying myself. I'm not asking a question that was not asked.
Yes.
What I'm saying is that there is no moratorium. The question is that people have got a specific budget allocation and they can only commit as far as that budget allocation is available.
Just hold on there. DG Communication Services. I saw it in your presentation. Which office does it fall? Yours, Drew, the Minister, where?
Yeah, it falls, in terms of this report, it falls under the Office of the DG.
In the new structure,
it falls under the Office of the
DG. DG Corporate
Services? Yeah.
The reason why I'm asking the question is that you, since giving us an answer that the nation does not have, somebody must have told the nation this is the situation, as the Jew is putting it to us. Nobody has done that. We have seen letters, Jew, from Pristin, Mbobo, and Eastern Cape. You have added the fourth one now, KZN, perhaps they have not written the letter in KZN. But we have seen these three letters. Where your chief directors in those areas, in writing, said there was a moratorium. All we're looking for is communication to tell the nation it is not true, there's no moratorium. This is the state of affairs, as explained by you. So that we, as the committee, when we get asked by the communities, we also can provide answers. To tell Masama Kala is so there, we will go back.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. We will rectify that. Chair, I've got a very difficult one that I want to respond to. That is with regard generally to the state of asset register of the country. There is a statement that was from.
Before you get in there, I'm sorry to do this to you. Don't lose your chain of thought. Your sleep, your fraudulent sleep, applies to what Commissioner Mbela said. He said the deals are signed elsewhere. You remember our commissioner? And you decided that those deals are problematic. Some of them are fraudulent. You remember? Can you write us a report before that? We do not want to labor it now. What your findings are in writing. Please, I guess. Many people are doing it. Yeah. Cuba.
The last one said is a very complicated. But I'm going to be frank and put up. The Department of, the old Department of Land Affairs, has over 200,000 parcels of paper, which were checked and tried to verify. Now, we have got some provinces where a lot of progress has been made in terms of surveying and registration of paper. The big problem remains, I'm talking about this current department now. The biggest challenge we have is mainly in the Eastern Cape, in the Mbopo, partly in Mpumalanga and North Now, Jay, you cannot have a complete asset register if some of your land is unfamily unregistered. We had thought that a year ago. That this whole exercise can be completed in a period of 3 years. But the reality is that to survey land, our legislation requires that there must be a qualified professional surveyor who conducts the survey. Now, our department, with the Office of the Chief Surveyor General, can't be a referee and a player because we have got an oversight role through the Surveyor General, the Chief Surveyor General, to examine the correctness of the information, to examine the correctness of the diagram before recording that and then registering the plan. Now, from our side, I think we have put quite a lot of energy to determine what land we are responsible for. Now, Chair, we have a key national that is here. If you look at the government, at the current legislation of the government-wide immovable property act, it requires each and every state department to have a complete asset register. I'm afraid, Honourable Chair, I wish to respectfully submit that we are unlikely as government across the world to have complete asset register in the next financial year. So this problem may recur over a period of time until such time this work is completed throughout the country. With respect to the land that is under the administration of this department, we are entirely dependent on the surveyors assisting us that we contract to do the survey and the registration of the land. Chair, I don't want to be dishonest and say we'll complete it next year or the year after that. I would rather go back and come back with a much more concrete information. But it is unlikely, Chair. It is unlikely that this work would be completed. I doubt there will be any sphere of practice that will have a complete immovable asset register that is accurate, that can quantify the land that they own. Because basically, there was nothing of the sort in place. We had to start all this work from scratch from the very beginning.
So you mean between 1652 and 1994, there was no such
a thing? Honorable Chair, we can tell you globally. The fact of the matter is that with the formation of homeland government, I think the national government probably abdicated its duty and responsibility towards maintaining asset register. There was none. In fact, Chair, I had a responsibility before we were in Matar, where the Moyama Trust was on Matar. We practically had to look for title deeds. They were all lost. We had to apply for new ones. That was way back in 1990. Now, you can imagine where there was in such a process across the country. Still, obviously, with our deep office under the department, we can easily apply for tax decision time. In actual fact, I would say, in all the former homeland, with stamps and experts, there were hardly any records. You know, Honorable Chair, coming from the same case, that the whole of city also issue, nobody can show you a record of the own issues throughout the country. No, it was at some point, it was the magistrate, it was point, the old Department of Native Affairs at some point, it was the old Department of Regional and Land Affairs at some point, it was the Department of Development Aid, and so on and so on and so on. So nobody really has problems. He has been the chief of this government.
I really, really like your honesty. Before you came in here, George Bezalel said this, and said, when that was discovered in 1994, what the general said to government, all right, now that you are going to start from scratch, we give you a chance to do this work until 2008. Between 1994 and 2008, the auditor general decided they will not qualify any department that does not have an immovable asset register. And sometime, I don't know what year, what year was it, Gigi? Where Kiyama was promulgated?
2007.
Mm-hmm. When they realized now, yo, I will be unmoved. So there has to be a point where Gigi, that a plan must be put together. The government has set aside 789 billion rand for infrastructure that will stimulate the economy in the whole country. You can't tell us that the government cannot put together some amount of money to finalize this program. And on top of that, now we are one of the five priorities of the government. We are supposed to make sure that one of those priorities is to do away with those lingering problems of the past. Continuity and change teaching. No, we must work towards removing that line duty, unlikely in the next financial year. Let's have some realistic plan. If we can help, tell us where to go. Because you know we will not sit. Remember what the general was saying. There are departments that continuously get qualifications when they reported here in Parliament. It was on TV, in Hollywood. This is
yes, I see.
Yes,
I may I also respect the request that I go back to prepare some. And we come back
with a plan
to say what is reasonable and what is realistic and what is foolish.
Okay. So what we will do to make it easy, we will call the Auditor General to be part of that meeting. You remember the Auditor General is a referee, mm-hmm. not a player. But we will ask them to give us an advice. Not to be part of the program, but to give us an advice. Nina, and then we will clearly do everything that you can and put a plan together and bring it here. Then Auditor General will find it amiss. They brief us here about the reason why you have a qualification. And we just discuss it and there. We do nothing about it. Not possible. And while we have belabored the CFO's report, we have belabored yours. So when are you coming back?
I would like to assist that when we come back, it should be somewhere towards the end of November. The reason being that there is a testing that has been set between public works, who have got a very long list of the assets of the department, and our department. So there is a team already in the field between these two departments, which is going to provinces. Because this problem is national, province, and municipality. That's where it is. Mm-hmm. So this chapter is looking at those three spheres in addressing this problem. And they are timeline for reporting on the size of the problem and the plan, which the Auditor General wants, is towards the end of November. So I think our plan will be more concrete if it is aligned to the plan that has been developed.
I don't think you can have control over that time. That's it. The controller is now over the other means, but not that just give us a reasonable day to work.
Yeah, I'm asking that it should be the last week of November or first week of December.
Okay, my name is Jesus.
Yeah.
But this is a preliminary plan.
Yes.
23rd January.
No problem.
We're looking at 23rd January. to look at becoming an organization
from the 20th on the
10th. Okay, Gigi, can you tell the Lord the money? You'll get a letter that confirms the date when the parliamentary program is confirmed. Also, we will have to confer with the, public works portfolio government so that the two of us can get together and deal with this. Thank you very much, Mr. Good. Honourable members, have all your questions answered? No, only the Omakaba, Omebuza, Oba, Ubu, Honourable Commissioner. Baba Nang was bought by your commission from some good farmer who had animals, foraging, and all other things. And they were paid whatever price at that time, 4 million, according to a report. And the farmer was kept on the land because of the delays on the transfer of the property to the community. The Ngonyama Trust has intervened to try to help the people. The Ngonyama Trust was told that the farm was sold for 10 million, not 4. So the department is still owing them money, the farmer. When they went back again, they said, no, it was sold for 14 million, not 10. So they want to know exactly what can be done to rest the situation. Can you give us a written answer, please, within 2 weeks? Because your record will show. Baba Nang was in case of there. What is the nearest town, ma'am? Between Freyheit and Ulun. Please. Baba Nang, really? Abraham?
Yes, the list of proactive land acquisition, as well as the list of going concerns.
Yeah, the CFO did promise.
Just on the hand of
the CFO did promise. I've written it down. And the city over there has been recording all the requests and upsetting them. We are going to write our own report based on the reports we have for tabling in Parliament. You will know when that report is going to be tabled to discuss this issue. We will report that there's unfinished business between us and your department on the matters that we have listed. We have an agreement with all the members of this committee. I don't know about the Committee of Agriculture, Fisheries and Forests, but for our committee, we are members of Parliament. We have been asked by Parliament to monitor your department to perform the function. Very few of our members climb on mountain tops and shout there about what's wrong with the department. And even those that they do so when you are not responsive to their questions. So we urge all members who are going to be interacting with this report, we will work together to make sure that when we go to Parliament, if the journalists are here in this meeting, they will report about what happened, the questions we have raised, and outstanding matters that we, it's not a leak, it's an open debate, it's an open meeting. There's no leaking. The public debate, we represent the nation, we represent Parliament. But when the nation reads this report, they will expect that we will take serious the commitment the between ourselves and yourself about the things that need to be done to rectify the problem. So please make sure that you take us seriously in that regard. But for honorable members, I am very thankful that you are so patient with the department and with me, and that we are going to pursue this conversation again. But did you made the minister to answer a question, question number 73, in the House on the register, state of state of all, with audit of all state-owned land. And you made the minister to say, yes, it was done in March 2008, and you made him say that that work is complete. In this meeting, it has become very clear that that was not the case. Now, in law, according to Parliament, the minister would have misled not only Parliament, but the nation. It's a very, very serious offense in parliamentary terms. Here is a piece of paper here in front of me. So we would want to correct this thing before anybody picks it up for his own purposes. It will be advisable, you advise the minister to do that himself in the House. Excuse me? I know, because the Parliament will say resign. So it will only be the party that deploys him that resists. Otherwise, in parliamentary terms, he has misled the Parliament and the nation. Did you? Let's take each other. Honourable members, the meeting. Yes. You get the privilege of age. Go ahead.
You know, I just said it, Mr.
Benson.
You know, I was talking to my friend here, and not my sister,
I was asking the name of the youth and the city. Now, is it why? The name of what?
My name.
I did say to this meeting, who was at the beginning of the meeting.
No, I had that.
Oh, okay.
Now, I said to him,
Operative word there is all state land. there's nothing in that question that says under your department. It says all statements. So that's what is misleading. All statements. So please cooperate with us, deal with the house, so that it's corrected. Please. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. The restaurant is downstairs. You can go and have lunch. I forgot to have the basement.
Thank you.